If you've had enough, or had near enough, sick and tired of that old man looking down on us, come together, as we think we got a plan. Save a teeny tiny traveling folk band.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Flat Nickel Podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Nawa, wondering why there are still church bells tolling in the distance. It's been going on so long that I'm starting to worry that it's just all in my head and nobody else can hear them, but it's been going on for a very, very long time, like an unusual amount of time. I hear, you know, it's a town with 40 churches, so I hear church bells often, but this is the longest I remember it ever going on for. It's such a ridiculous thing, and if you can't hear it in the background, I'm gonna look so silly. I'm gonna sound so silly complaining. Not even complaining, but just I think it's funny that it's in the background of these intros, because I'm recording them all at once so that I can send them over to Sam so that he can edit episodes and we can do our jobs. But today's episode is with The Protest. They are a rock band out of Indiana, which is where our producer Sam is from, and he loves Indiana, so that's fun. They were such nice guys. They had been fresh off of the stage at Uprise, which is a festival near here, and they were just really sweet guys. I really enjoyed sitting down and talking with them. They've been doing this for a long time, and it was just really great to have a conversation with them. It reminds me of how much I love like interviewing bands and working with bands and seeing how these people who have to spend so much time together are able to feed off of each other's energies. Yeah, they're just really sweet guys. I would definitely recommend going and checking out their music. I really enjoyed it. And by the time that this comes out, their new single will have been released. And so we'll post that on our Instagram page whenever this episode goes live. So I am really excited to announce this interview with The Protest. It's one of the biggest bands we've ever interviewed, and so it was a really big deal to be able to interview them, and it made me feel like a professional. So thank you guys for being willing to work with me. I really enjoyed it. And make sure you go check out their music, and here's our interview. Hey everyone, real quick, we wanted to give a big thanks to our sponsor for this episode, Butterpear. Butterpear offers Liberian artisan goods that benefit education in Liberia. 100% of profits go directly back to support students and schools in Liberia, West Africa. You can check out their amazing products and learn more about them at butterpear.com. That's BUTTERPEAR.com. And if you want to get 20% off, you can use our exclusive discount code FLATNICKEL at checkout. That's all lowercase FLATNICKEL. There is actually a recording studio in here, but it's not ours. Hey. I like the ambiance.
I like the vibe. I know this guy likes that fan a lot.
I bet you
do. Isn't it so cute?
I like that pulp cover up there. It's kind of cool.
My mom actually designed our green room. She designed a lot of the spaces and the thought lot. She's I guess her second life is she wants to be an interior designer. So she designed my store, and she's, you know, got a knack for that. A lot of this stuff is from my grandfather's house from after he passed away. Wow. And so we kind of turned the green room into the set of Mad Men a little bit.
I like it.
That's a cool TV too, Dane.
Phones on silent.
Yep.
Oh, that's cool.
It helps me out. It's always. We had one interview where she just tweeted the entire time while we were interviewing. And it's like,
oh, it's good,
nice and friendly.
But actually, in a small world kind of thing, I interviewed Mockcore last night, Friday night.
Oh, cool, cool.
And they spoke very highly of you, so I was really excited.
That's awesome.
Thank you. They're really good dudes.
Yeah, it was one of those interviews where we went through the questions, we ended the episode, and then we just kept talking for like an hour. It was like almost 8:30 by the time we left.
Right.
We just kept talking and talking and talking and talking. So like I said, I have a couple of just sort of base questions, some talking points to chat with you guys about.
Are we good here?
Yeah. Okay. Worst case scenario, if somebody's too quiet, Sam can always
bump them up.
Our editor, he's pretty good about that stuff.
What's up, chewing grapes?
quickly turns into an ASMR video. but
But yeah, we it's pretty much just an open flowing discussion. If you guys have like a tangent that you go off on, if you, you know, we're super laid back.
Okay, cool. Sounds good.
I didn't order these in any reasonable order. But I know that you guys had a new album come out recently, and I believe it will be released by the time this podcast is out, but you do have a single coming out on September 18th, right? And you just said that you're about to go shoot a music video. Is that for that?
Yes.
Single? All right. That's actually my day job. That's not my day job. That's my aspiration, is I work on music videos.
So. Oh, very cool.
Which is part of why I was really interested in hearing about the challenges that you guys had on the What Else You Got music video. Because when I was going through other people's interviews to be like, what do I need to know about these guys? It seemed like that didn't go as smoothly as you'd planned.
It went really smooth. I'd say it's just there was a lot of things were kind of unsavory. It was late February, and we had to get it in like before we left on tour. And it's late February. We're in this garage, and there's no heat. It was freezing, so we had like tiny space heaters like everywhere, and we're not in takes. We're like, you know, huddled out, and we actually had to wet the floor down with bottled water. Instead of to make it look rock and roll, you know, we just opened up cases of water and dumped it all over the floor.
There's no hose to use, so just like, well, we got some water that we can use and just try to make it look really cool. And
yeah, and it was so freezing, but we started sweating, and then there were scenes where we were getting blown on by a leaf blower, and so get freeze. I can't believe we didn't all not catch a cold.
Yeah,
get very, very sick.
To most normal bands, I'd say it probably would have been a disaster, but to us, it's kind of normal. So
we always have crazy things happen, you know. And that one was, for the most part, pretty uneventful, besides the freezing cold and stuff like that.
Have you had worse scenarios on videos happen?
We were filming a music video outside at this old haunted house that hadn't been opened yet. And all of a sudden, we start hearing things, flying through the trees and then, hitting wood and hitting things. And there's kids. These kids are throwing rocks.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
At the set. At us. And we didn't know, we went back there, and I just saw shadowy figures. One of them had a bike, and they're throwing rocks. And the owner of this horror place ran out there and was like, "Hey, get out of here!" And it was pretty wild.
There were some hoodlums, you know.
Hoodlums. Yep. Hoodlums. Up to no good, you know, throwing rocks.
Good red things. Yep.
Yeah. The first video I ever worked on, which I ended up working on by accident, the lead actress had to run barefoot in the snow 20 times. She was in nothing but a nightgown.
Oh, wow.
Running barefoot through the snow. We were all working in almost a foot of snow trying to shoot this video. And so I relate to freezing during video shoots, which is better than the last one, which was in an unventilated old social club.
Wow.
Which was,
that was
two extremes.
I bet that was terrible.
Yeah. Yep.
I think I would rather take the cold.
Sweltering. Really?
I agree. I don't like the cold in general, but for a music video, I would rather have the cold.
Well, you're performing, you're already sweating and so hot, and then it was the old Slovenian social hall in Cleveland, which is where I work out of, and it hasn't changed since the 50s. So there was no air conditioning, the windows barely opened. It's a room packed full of people, bands working, we're running around, I'm working hot, lights, yeah. It was hot. I would much rather have the cold than...
And we were cold, but we did get to wear shoes, which was nice.
Yes.
We didn't have to worry about that.
Shoes are good.
Shoes are good. So good.
That's the promotional quote for this episode. Yeah.
Shoes are good.
Endorsed by the pros.
Shoes. All shoes. Yeah. Shoes. We don't like to stick to a particular brand.
Just in general. So how many shows are you guys playing a year, just say?
I mean, it kind of depends, really. We've played up to 150 shows a year. The last couple of years, we've been recording a record and, you know, doing a lot of things. So it's been a little slower than that, but we definitely stay pretty busy on the road.
It's been a decent amount of time between this past record that came out and the one before that.
Yes,
yeah, what have you guys sort of been working on? Because it wasn't the second album, Blues, right? Because you had your second album.
Yes.
Your third album. It's our third.
Yeah. Sophomore slump, as they say, yes. Which we already passed that. So
yeah,
we're in our junior jump.
Yeah.
Is that what they call it?
No. I don't know.
They do now.
Yeah, they do now. That's right.
Sort of in between that time, what were you guys working on?
The record for a very long time.
Yeah.
In the music industry, things don't always go as planned. You know, we had been writing for a long time, and we really wanted to make sure we were putting out the best record possible. And so we wanted to make sure all the songs were as good as they possibly could have been. As well as like some scheduling issues, you know, between us and the producer, just sometimes it just didn't line up. And that time really adds up after a while. And then when we were done, we were working on doing a record deal. And so that added more time. So it continued to pile up and things don't always go as they plan. But, you know, we ended up with a very good product we're very happy with and proud of. So. I think it was kind of worth the wait.
I know that you did some co-writes mm-hmm. for this past album. Were you at all hesitant about the idea of co-writing with someone?
It's funny, like, part as, like, artists, yeah, partially there's, like, a little bit of hesitation because, like, I think all of us take great pride in, like, us being, like, musicians and trying to, like, put forth, like, the best music that we're capable of. But each record that we've done, we've always kind of like wanted like a different experience, and whether it's like being like a new producer and recording someplace different. So, so I'm sure there, like, we all felt some hesitation, but also some of the guys that we wrote with, a couple guys from like Disciple who were great friends with, and we love dearly. Like, it was also exciting just to like create music with those guys, people that we look up to and that we're just good friends with. So, overall, like, once we got into it and just kind of started navigating through like how to do a co-write, ended up being like a lot of fun.
Do you feel, you mentioned wanting to sort of have something different about each album, whether that's the producer or something, does that make you feel like it gives you like your best creative option to keep things fresh and evolving? And
yeah, I think what really makes each album different is kind of where we're at in our lives too, and how we've grown as musicians, you know what I mean? I mean, in that, from 2014 to 2018, you know, that's a long time to like grow and have life experience and, you know, have all these blessings, all these trials, all these tribulations. And, you know, I think a lot of what we wrote for the record, a lot of things we co-wrote with and about, really stemmed from a lot of the experiences that we have in life as human beings on the road, you know what I mean, all that stuff. And I think that really helped the writing process as well.
Is there any particular way that you've sort of seen your perspective change in those last 4 years? Because has there been sort of, you know, any big life-changing events? Have there been just sort of like a perspective shift that you feel like has helped your writing?
I personally don't think so. I'm not speaking for everyone else, but nothing major.
You got married.
Yeah, two of us got married. So I mean,
that's major.
I guess I take back everything I just said. My wife will kill me.
It's a big deal. We love it.
That's the biggest thing that's ever happened to me. The greatest thing. So, I mean, aside from getting married, because, I mean, it does affect the band a little. Mm-hmm. It's just a different dynamic, and not in a bad way. But aside from that, I don't think too much changed other than growth individually. I think we just constantly want to grow as musicians, grow as people. And I think we did that, so it naturally comes out.
Are you all full-time musicians?
No.
Almost.
Almost.
Yeah.
I wish.
How do you guys manage to balance, like, two of you are married, jobs, obligations, how do you manage to balance that? Because we talk, you hear the greater conversation of work-life balance. We talk a lot about work-music balance on this podcast, because very few of the people that we interview, even the ones that tour a lot, aren't normally solely musicians. So how do you guys sort of work on balancing the two?
It's definitely hard. I mean, it's a huge challenge. I mean, I don't know if you know much about the band, and I won't get too into it, but, you know, for us, like, our driving force, you know, we're a ministry, and that's kind of our driving force. So I think that really, like, it's more than just making money for us. So that kind of helps us keep our passion high and strong for it. But as far as the balancing goes, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, we're just blessed. Like, we, yes, a couple of us are married. I mean, he lives in California now, and we live in Indiana, and, like, all this crazy stuff's happening. But I don't know. We just blessed to have a way to do it still, you know?
Now I need to ask about that. Which one of you lives in California? You live in California.
I do, yes.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you. For those of you listening, it's me.
I will add you to my list of people to visit when I go out there.
There eventually. You go.
Yeah, please do. I live in Long Beach right now.
Our big thing with the venue is we love to go see bands that play here, who come through here, where they're from, and see really what their shows are like there. So we've done that all across the East Coast.
That's really cool. So you guys actually travel and check these bands out?
Yeah.
That's cool. That's awesome. Really cool.
I work a lot out of Cleveland now, so we've been really lucky. A lot of our bands are from Cleveland. I work from a band out of Charlottesville. And so we're able to, they came here first before we worked with them, and now we've been able to go see them in their hometowns and see them sell out venues and play universities and all sorts of cool stuff.
Very cool.
So the next jump is to go visit my friends in California, having never been on a plane before. So
oh, yeah?
I will add you to the list of people I know out there. How does that work? Like, as far as being a part of a band, now living several states away, we'll say several. are you guys, like, I need to know how that works. Are you doing, like, Skype writing sessions? Are you sending your part specifically so that you can practice, and by the time that you all reconvene, you're, you know, up to par? Like, I don't, that's, you know.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Like, I just recently moved out there. Okay. Like, I moved out there at the end of May, and so, like, we're still kind of navigating through it because it's all new territory for us. And I used to live out there, and then I just recently moved back. The new record came out, like, all of us were just kind of practicing the songs on our own. Just, like, I would sit there and like, play our CD, and I would just play along with it. So that's kind of, like, how I practiced. And just, like, when I came back to tour, I would just be like, okay, I know my parts. Let's just kind of, like, put everything together and just do it that way. And we do like a lot of Skype. Like, if like we have like a band meeting, like we all kind of hop on like Messenger or Skype or something like that and just chat and have fun. And as far as writing, we haven't done any new writing yet, but I would assume, like, when we co-wrote with like Josiah from Disciple and Andrew, like, we did like Skype writing sessions. So for like our next record, I could easily see us just doing that, like throwing out ideas out there and getting like put down and doing things like that.
Put them down. And going back to your question of like how we've changed in like the 4 years gap, I think that's a big thing of like, you know, I think when he told us he was going to move, none of us really had a negative thought. It's this whole process of this legacy coming out was, you know, everything was so positive. And I just feel like that's a lot of growth for us. Like, you know, nothing's going to stop us, basically. Like, we're in this 100%. Right. So it's pretty cool to see.
That's a really good thought because, yeah, like, I think maybe a couple years ago, this would have been a really hard, almost impossible transition for us. But, like, I mean, we love him so much, and we're just confident, and, you know, like, we know what we're supposed to do, and it's working out, you know, and it's really, like, we're super blessed, and it's awesome.
Where did you guys record this last album?
Yeah,
I don't remember.
He doesn't have a name for his studio, but we
Dark Tower.
Okay. Oh, it is called Dark Tower. Oh, okay. Dark Tower Studio in
shout out to Dark Tower Studios in Nashville.
Nashville, Tennessee, with Matt Arcaney.
It used to be my dream city.
It's pretty cool.
It's a great town.
It's changed so much.
It's growing
since I was a little kid down in Nashville running around, but.
You're from there?
No, I visited a lot.
Oh, okay.
But my parents' convention that they went to mm-hmm. was always in Nashville. When I was
very
growing
cool.
Up. So every year I was down there.
Yeah.
But it's one of the bands that we've interviewed is not from Nashville, but lived in Nashville for a really long time, and now they live on the road in their camper with their very giant dog named Puddle. I always think it's Pudding.
Puddle?
Puddle.
I would really like to live that life.
A giant dog named Puddle. That's awesome, dude. It's got to be a floopy dog, dude.
It's just bouncy and ridiculous, and that's going to be at my house in 2 weeks, and I'm really excited.
That's great.
What band is that? Ridiculous. What band is that?
It's a band called The Rough and Tumble. They're an Americana band, husband and wife.
The Rough and Tumble.
Hey,
let's start an Americana band. Have a dog named Puddle.
They love it. They in the winter they stay with their sister or their parents, but the rest of the year they have a truck and a pool behind camper that they live out of, and they'll go. Right now they're in Montana or somewhere out there, and they'll find campgrounds and stay, and that's how they live their life, and it's this really cool.
That's awesome.
Adventure for them.
Rough and tumble.
But they left Nashville because it's become so saturated, and now they're doing that. But I love Nashville. How was the experience different from this, the actual recording process different from this album from the ones you've done prior?
Yeah, this was definitely a different for us. It was, I'd say it was probably... I mean,
temperature is warmer.
Yeah. No, it was good. We just really clicked with our producer, and that was huge. He saw in our music a lot more than I think we saw originally. He saw how it could sound, and at first, you mentioned, it's hard to see the big picture because some of the songs we were co-writing with and some of the production ideas, at first we're like, whoa, that's different, that we've never done that before, it's kind of scary, but it turned out being one of the best things, and it was just an overall fun environment. And he's got a really cool place, he had some video games hooked up, it was just a real chill environment. Mm-hmm. Lots of coffee drank. So
yep.
It's always good.
It seems to be the general consensus when it comes to recording. A lot of coffee.
It's a must.
Fresh breath.
Yes. For all the shows that you've played, the tours that you've done, all that stuff, as far as touring goes or being on the road, obviously you have this crazy bus outside that I was anticipating. I was quite surprised by it. I was expecting a van or a trailer.
Instead, you got a prison bus.
I come out and there's a very large bus in our parking lot. I'm about this. This is great. But I guess what would be your tour tip for touring musicians? The one we hear a lot is Metamucil, because you're probably going to eat a lot of bread while you're on tour. Huh. So bring Metamucil.
That's a great idea.
I didn't know that.
I don't know if that was David Ramirez. If it was.
You interviewed David Ramirez?
I haven't. But I've met him a couple of times.
He's awesome.
I'm a big fan.
He's sweetest guy in existence. But one of the videos that I worked on was directed by a guy that did a documentary that followed him.
Cool.
That was about touring bands, which is kind of part of the inspiration to create this podcast. So I need to track him down once he comes back to the States so that I can interview him.
Yeah, I've been
him
following him. He's in Europe somewhere.
He's in Europe now. His keys player that he tours with is the most little beacon of light that I want to pick him up and carry him around with me. Matt Wright, who's, I also need
is his last name Bright?
It's Wright.
I thought you said Bright. I was like, he of course he's a little beacon of light.
I need to hound him. He's based out of Atlanta. He's
cool.
An awesome person. But it might have been David Ramirez in that documentary that said Metamucil, but it was someone in that documentary.
Okay.
I remember that.
Your
tour tips.
Your tour tips.
Okay. Mine, yeah, random music. I love it. I love it. Mine would be take advantage of any shower that you can get anywhere, whether it's a truck stop. If you go into a truck stop like Love's or something, mm-hmm. just say, hey, we're a band. You know, I heard that maybe, like, is there a possibility we can just use one shower? And sometimes they'll let you just pay for one shower, mm-hmm. but four guys go through it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, like, whether it's someone's house, if you ever get a free shower, take it. Because you don't know when your next one's going to be. And you could be of subpar, what's that called? Hygiene for a while.
I actually have a really good tip when it comes to tour showers.
Yeah?
Okay.
For the month or so that you're going to be on tour, get a premium Planet Fitness membership.
We have that.
It's $10.
Yes.
We're doing that now.
My dad, when he took the Barons on tour, that was their thing. So that you can go in and shower. It's normally a really nice shower. There's whatever other facilities you want to use, but that's like my number one thing.
These guys have memberships, so they just bring us in as guests.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we work out and have a free shower, and it's great.
Yeah, it's a recent discovery that we've really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tour tip?
Tour tip. trying to think here.
You can't think of one. You can tell when he said business ethics.
Tour tip. Okay. Think of one? Well, if you can't find a shower,
yes,
baby wipes is a great
man
wipes. If you're a man, is a great alternative to that. So we have like a whole drawer full in our bus of just man wipes. So
bring towels.
Towels are good.
Yeah, towels are.
Or forget my towel.
I do too.
Yeah.
So like, gotta work on our own tips.
Oh, we've been touring for a long time, and I still forget things at home like that. So.
You have a tour tip?
I do.
Tour tip.
Tour tip. I think for me, like, so we've broken down, like, a lot on the road, like, over the years. And
like, emotionally.
Yeah. I had a couple of those.
That kind
of
comes with the breakdown, though.
But from that, I mean, I guess my tip would be is, like, don't overthink things so much. If you break down, if you get a problem, just start simply, like, just try not to overthink. Mm-hmm. And just, if you find help, just take the help. Like, I mean, there's been a couple times where you call somebody and you're just grasping for straws and like, you're just trying to get what you need. And sometimes it comes, like, across, like, man, I don't know if I can trust this person. But you're just like, don't overthink it. They're willing to help. Take their help. And so, like, because back in the days when, like, we first started breaking down, for myself, I was like, I would overthink, I would kind of freak out. And then over time, just like, I don't know how we're going to fix this problem. Like, we got like a flat tire or something like that. Like, I don't know how we're going to fix it, but I just know we are. And then you just start small, and then we always get where we need to go. So don't overthink things when you, like, come across like a trial or tribulation.
I kind of have two, just swiftly. One is, like, if you're touring, you're traveling the country, enjoy your travels. Like, if you have time to take and go enjoy whatever state you're in, whatever is unique to that area, definitely do it. Because that's something we've always done, and it never gets old, and you always see new things or find favorite things to always stop at, so... There's that, and I know, like, we're a very tight-knit band. Like, we've been doing this for over 10 years, or around 10 years, and we're very close. We can spend a lot of time with each other and not want to kill each other, which is rare in a band.
I was going
to
ask.
So that's good. However, even though we love each other dearly, it's very important to have, like, your personal time to, like, get away, because I mean, when you're touring, when you're playing shows, like, you're communicating with people all the time, and that can get overwhelming. So it's good to have, like, some time to just not be with anyone, like, listen to some music, or this guy likes to sporkle, if you know what that is.
No.
So
yeah,
I'm gonna say most people don't.
If you don't, you're about ready to find out.
Sporkle is an online
sporkle.
We should, probably should explain it. It sounds kind of
that sounds weird. Sporkle is an online trivia.
It's actually gonna explain.
And okay. And I'll just leave it at that because there's a lot to it. I have an account and I'm. It's
he's a pretty big deal.
It's Shredmaster, and that's my account. And I've played over 3,000 quizzes.
Is it like an app? Don't forget we're on.
What's that?
Is it like an app? Is it a website? Is it?
It's a website.
Okay.
They have a mobile app.
This episode was sponsored by Sporkle.
Yeah,
not
but
really,
it's
but
incredible. Like you think of it, they have a quiz about it. I mean, they have hundreds of Pokemon quizzes, like hundreds of like you name it. And a lot of it is like you type in stuff and it fills in. It's just it's a blast. Everyone try Sporkle. It changed my life.
You mentioned stopping and doing things on the road, and since you guys are David Ramirez fans, yeah, he likes to go bowling while he's on tour.
Does he?
I would like to do that.
Yep. When I saw him in Vermont a couple months ago, they had just gotten bowling t-shirts from the bowling alley that they stopped at. And he was like, wasn't that great? But we did.
That's awesome.
We like mini golf.
Mini golf?
Yeah,
that's
a good one. Yeah, mini golf is a blast. A shout out to Castle Golf, you know what I'm saying? It's one in Florida.
I was going to say, is there?
It's mini. I know.
It's cool.
Speaking of tour, aren't you guys about to leave for a certain continent?
Correct.
Yes. Mm. We're going to Europe next month. So super
have
pumped
you,
about
have
that.
Have you done Europe before? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Twice? Tell me about this. Okay, everybody's going to Europe. Every band that I know is going to Europe or is trying to go to Europe. How did that happen? Why did you decide it was going to be if I say why did you decide it's going to be that would be a good idea, it makes it sound like it's not a good idea. but I imagine the first time you're going to tour internationally, it's going to be really nerve-wracking. I could be wrong.
It was the first time, still was, and still kind of is, really. So
yeah, this will be our third time going over. We've played in Germany a lot, but we've spent like over what, like 20 some hours, more than that, at a Turkish airport, you know, I mean, it's just like crazy. But we're actually playing Latvia this time around as well, so that'll be really fun. The first time was definitely it was magical. It was a blast, but it was so stressful because we didn't know what we were doing. I mean, we're babes in the woods. I mean, we didn't know how to pronounce the town that we were staying in, so when we went on these trains, we're trying to find our train back, and we're like, Sursheim, and no one knows what we're talking about, and we're just like, it was crazy.
It's really not much has changed because that's pretty much
still. Yeah.
What kind of like venues are you playing over there?
This time it's a pretty eclectic mix.
Yeah.
Clubs, event centers, churches. That's kind of what we've done in the past. So.
Aside from touring in Europe, how have you guys worked on like growing your fan base? What sort of, you know, I'm assuming social media takes a big role, as it tends to, for everybody now. But I guess as far as the content that you put out on social media, how do you make it so that it's engaging with your audience?
We're still working on that.
we're still, you know, trying. We're honestly, like, when we started playing music, like, social media wasn't a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It is now, and we've learned a lot of cool tips and tricks, but, like, I mean, honestly, I think our fan base is from, we are very adamant about being there for them, and we're not standoffish at all. I mean, we want to make connections, you know, not connections to grow us, but just human connections. You know, we want to meet people, hear their stories, hang out, make new friends, meet new family all over the country. And I think when you allow yourself to be open like that, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And I think that's why, you know, we have a very modest fan base, but I think that's why they're very strong and they help us out incredibly, you know, just because, you know, we're friends, we're family, you know? So we try to be as intentional as humanly possible at shows about, you know, meeting people and reaching people. Mm-hmm. So
that's awesome. But the biggest thing about why we have this podcast is because we want to be able to connect as many of our musician friends as possible. And you know, we have a modest following, but everybody that's been on prior episodes listens to the podcast, and then the episode coming out next week, two nights before the band played here, they played with a band that we had interviewed and is coming and staying with us in a couple of weeks. Like, it becomes a really small circle, mm-hmm. and that crosses genres and state lines, and that's kind of what's been important for us. What kind of merch do you guys have? Because we talk a lot about merch on this show, and the success of different types of merch, and if it's something that you guys just sell at shows, if you have an online store.
Yeah.
What's your...
We sell shoes. And only shoes.
shoes.
I was trying to go back to like the...
It's the next... No, it worked. You circled back. Yeah. You made the joke. It worked.
We just drop in like a lot of like laughter like on your laptop.
At shows, we pretty much everything that you can think of, from shirts to hats to CDs, wristbands, posters, stickers, you know, that kind of stuff. I named them all. Posters. We have an online store right now, kind of. Our music, like you can find everywhere, Amazon, Spotify, all that stuff. But we sell hard copies from our site, and we do, every couple months, we do like a shirt special, where we do a one-of-a-kind shirt. We only have it open for like 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and you have 2 weeks to place your order if you want this one-of-a-kind shirt, because we're not going to have it at shows. We're just going to have the special shirt, and that's been a really a successful thing. If anything is exclusive like that, you know, people are really into it.
It's
so.
A really good marketing concept. Mm-hmm. The shirts that you release, who does the design for that?
That would be Jarob. He's the drummer in the band, and he's like our graphic artist, and he's incredible.
But it's cool because like a lot of our successful shirt designs, or even like album cover or whatever, have come from like their ideas, mm-hmm. And then I just kind of bring it to life in the actual, like, you know. But what?
Well, my stomach is just making crazy sounds.
Probably the insane amount of grapes you had.
I did eat it. I ate a lot of grapes.
You had a whole vine of grapes.
You got a pretty big handful.
I couldn't grab them.
It took you a while to get it off.
Yeah, I know. I'm still working on my grape grab.
See, she noticed.
She's like, maybe this is a bad idea.
She's like, I'm just going to edit this part out.
Nope. I'm keeping
it. It stays.
The human moments. That's what we look for here on the Botanical Podcast. And that includes the inability to grasp grapes. All right. So as far as like stuff that you want to plug, this is going to come out in 2 weeks, I think. So anything you want to plug, obviously website, social media, anything that's going to be coming out within the next 3 days that people should go and check out.
Let's see, plug. Always plug in lamps.
Air fresheners occasionally.
Yeah, plug in your toaster if you want to toast something.
Keep your refrigerator plugged in.
Yes,
that's or if you want
spoil.
Deep freeze. Learned that the hard way.
But as far as
deep thaw,
what we could plug, our record, Legacy. Check it out. Buy it. If you like it, you don't have to buy it, but...
How can they buy it, Josh?
Well, I'll tell them. Adam, Sarge, we will buy... You can buy...
Nero, help me.
Okay, now you did it.
You can buy it pretty much anywhere online. I mean, whether it's iTunes, Amazon, whatever. You can stream it.
Target.
Our website. Yeah.
Target.com, FYE.com.
All that good stuff. Really?
Theprotestrocks.com.
And the best place to buy it is theprotestrocks.com. It is the best place to buy it.
ThePortisRocks.com.
And you can...
you had to wait for a while.
And you can connect with us on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, all that stuff. We are very intentional about getting back with people. So please reach out and drop us a line if people still say that. And
I'm not sure.
Okay.
It is
not. Yeah.
What is it now? Slip into my DMs.
Please.
Slide.
Oh, slide. Okay.
What does that mean?
Like
direct message. Yeah.
It's mainly like when a guy likes a girl.
Yeah. I was gonna say, why'd you say that?
Yeah.
Slides into the DMs like, hey, you cute.
Oh, okay.
Hey, you cute.
Hey, you cute. I like that.
Taking notes or
just send us something like
Taking notes right now.
Anyway, just send us some electronic mail, you know.
Yeah.
We're really showing our age here.
P.O. Box.
Yeah. AOL Instant Messenger, you can definitely hit us up.
Yeah. I'll post my beeper number.
We need to bring call beepers back. I want a
Bob's
beeper.
Beepers. Yeah.
Impossible.
I want a beeper.
Hey, why not?
Oh, come on.
Why
the next big thing. The protest endorses beepers.
Yeah. Still is it or
well, that could be cool.
It could be
our songs or the ringtones.
Yeah. Whenever we have like a release or something,
yes,
we'll get
that. Oh my gosh. That's not a bad idea. Hey, we will let you in on the ground floor.
We'll give you a 10% commish.
This is not a bad idea.
I know, it's not a bad idea.
Like, it'll beep whenever we're going to be in their area. Like, oh, yeah, that's a protest song. It must be my protest beeper.
New
yeah.
It rarely beeps.
Every 4 years it beeps. So
like, the batteries die. And like, you guys are in the area, but
it
like...
It never worked once.
That's how it would be for us. Like, I'm in trouble with my beeper. Like,
yeah. I just thought my table at Texas Roadhouse was ready, so I just went there. And on that
my
note,
stomach's made
for the protest.
All right, that does it for another episode of the Flat Knuckle Podcast. A couple of things you can do to help us out. Please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Subscribe to us wherever you might be listening, be it iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher, and share the podcast with a friend. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Flat Knuckle Podcast, and be sure to tune in next Wednesday at 11 a.m. for a brand new episode.